I mean, I honestly don't blame the guy for not showing up because the show sucked ass.
That was unrelated. I feel like he probably, like, if I watched this, I would definitely want to show up because the only redeeming part of this is that you, like, you know, get to talk shit about it with the buddies. Otherwise, yeah, you just watched this hunk of garbage for no reason.
Yeah, you really just extra tortured yourself, but you're not torturing yourself this time because y'all clicked on the Anna Buddies podcast. Welcome. I'm Detective Alex, and joining me today is Petty Officer Jacob. How are you doing, Jacob?
Oh, I was hoping you'd be a 17-year-old psychosis mommy, and I could be little girl. But, you know, outside of having to watch the hit 2018, the hit summer 2018 anime, Happy Sugar Life, you know, I've been pretty good this week, and just in general. I'm glad it was a good week, because I don't think I could have gotten through this if it wasn't.
Yeah.
But, how are you feeling, enough. Alex?
Let's see, this past week, the show, Happy Sugar Life, honestly, made me not want to do much anime related, but I feel like I did, and I'm forgetting, I started Nonbaka, because I needed something nice and funny and very much my taste, to watch afterwards, Baka? And Nonbaka, it's a show about a bunch of prisoners, yeah. It's very much an Alex show. It's one of the characters I made my Discord profile picture. Yes. So, but other than that, really didn't do too much. Yeah. Did you do anything else outside of watch the show?
You know, I read. Or I guess I finished the latter half of Goodnight Poon Poon, or as our do we have any Spanish listeners? I know we've got Brazilian, but they speak Portuguese.
Let me check the analytics. Yes, we did have Spanish listeners.
Well, then, as our Spanish listeners might know it, buenas noches, poon poon. As our Brazilian listeners might know it, boa noite, poon poon. Because I found out in every language of this publication, they translate good night.
Oh, that's cute, actually.
Dude, buenas noches, poon poon has such a, like, happier ring to it than good night, poon poon. Like, if I saw that on the page, I'd feel so much, like, happier about what was happening. But Good Night Poon Poon is like, oh, he's depressed.
Yeah, it's a bit much. But I guess before we dive into this, I want to talk about Poon Poon. What was your favorite part?
My favorite part? You know, it's comedy-wise, it's really hard for anything to top the my brain melted out of my wiener. but for, like, I guess terms of, like, it's hard to pick a favorite part because the whole thing just kind of meshes together a lot. Like, it's such a complete story, and it's really carried by the realism and, like, the little elements it adds that stories usually skip over because they're hard to put in an interesting way. But he, like, adds those elements and they're interesting and it makes the story feel more real. But I'd say probably my favorite part is just, like, this is spoiler heavy. Skip the next minute if you have not read Poon Poon. Favorite part overall is just the whole interaction with Aiko, where he like finally encounters her and they're like doing all the shit that they do, and it's like not everything that he glorified it up as, and it's like he's put this on a pedestal, and it's disappointing when you finally acquire it because like this entire purpose that he's lived for isn't as good as he thought it would be, but also he's trying to convince himself that it is a lot of times. And like, I don't know, that felt like very depressing and also relatable to my like sort of mid-teen years. It was very, very sad, but I think the most like real and relatable part of all that.
Yeah, I definitely have to agree. I think it definitely does have a nice dose of realism, especially with a lot of like character interactions, and I think just the way that like emotions are kind of portrayed, either through the whimsical method of like, you know, having Poon Poon transform into a triangle because he just wants to close himself off from the world there for some time, or, you know, yeah, the actual like serious hard-hitting like conversation moments that are really in there. But, you know, I really do love that manga a lot. It holds a special place in my heart.
Yeah, definitely. I see the for anyone that's unaware of Poon Poon somehow, you've probably heard it and maybe like haven't looked too much into it, because it does not have an anime and it probably will never have one, because most of the fan base as well as the writer agree that it like there's nothing that an anime would really add besides accessibility, because it's like such a like perfect work of art through its medium. Mm-hmm. But for context of just like how good it is, it's like a slice of life, like coming of age story about a young boy's depression as he grows up. And, you know, that's generally anything about depression in anime, and the overall general method is done very poorly and like super, see the Wonder Egg episode for how they like generalized a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But, Poon Poon, with that played out genre that is generally received poorly, if you give Poon Poon on Mal anything lower than a 10, you are lowering the rating, because it's sitting at a 9.05. So yeah, anything lower than a 10 is going to lower that. So that is how much people like it. And I can personally attest to it. It is not overrated at all. If anything, I'd say there's things on the list that it should be higher than. But again, I don't place too much weight in like the general rankings. I take it more as like a broad sort of placement of how people view things. Like, I don't see that Steel Ball Run is higher than One Piece, and I'm like, it's just objectively better, because one, that's a very hard comparison to make, since one is a piece of work and one is like the overall work. But like in general, it is very good, because most of the other stuff on the list, it either has its like own unique thing, or it's just such like a nostalgic thing for people. Like, I'd say Berserk and One Piece, and even like JoJo's and Full Metal Alchemist, all have like a special place in people's hearts that have kind of like held it. Vagabond and Monster, I'd say, are like sort of like shorter completed works that are, don't have so much of a cult following, but like I guess the general part of also these is that they're kind of like battle shonen ish. Berserk is a seinen, but they're like actiony. But I'd say it definitely carves its own little special place in the top of top of manga. Very good.
Yes, it is very, very good, and it is definitely easily recommendable, I'd say, to a lot of people. You know, just give them a little viewer discretion beforehand, because it is a mature work in the end of the day.
Yeah, but surprisingly, I'm actually looking at this now. I'm surprised at how popular Poon Poon is, because I'd expect it to be popular among like an adult crowd, but given that I think the like it's a little less general thematically than some of the other stuff, pretty much everything above it in popularity is a battle shonen, or Berserk is like a battle seinen with a drama to it. But
yeah, like, JoJo's also, or that part of JoJo is also a seinen.
Well, JoJo's is higher rated, but it's not as high rated popularity. Like, Poon Poon sits at 11th for popularity. Above it is Bleach, Chainsaw Man, Death Note. Death Note's not really a battle shonen, but it's another one that's its own thing. One Punch Man, My Hero, Naruto, Tokyo Ghoul, One Piece. Tokyo Ghoul's branded as a seinen, but it very much feels like a battle shonen at some points. And we might get shit for that if we had an email or if anyone DM'd us on Twitter. But for me, at least, I don't think Tokyo Ghoul is as psychologically deep as the fans do. You know.
Yeah.
Crucify me if you need to for that statement. But I'll reread it one day and maybe I'll feel differently. But I just really did not. It did not hit the, that seems to be the selling point for it, and it did not hit those marks. But yeah, given that I thought it, like, I don't feel like the topic is as, I mean, I obviously everyone that, I don't want to say all weebs are depressed, but I feel like a lot of people in the sort of like anime slash manga community can at least relate to depression in some way. So I don't want to say it's like not relatable, but it's definitely not as like broadly marketable as a lot of the other stuff on here. So to see that it's more popular than like sitting above Demon Slayer in popularity is astounding. Granted, the Demon Slayer manga is quite lackluster.
Yeah. From what I've heard. I imagine most people just want to watch the anime for it.
Yeah.
I was looking at the manga list, and I am kind of surprised that Steel Ball Run is over One Piece. Because I would have thought more people would have read One Piece. But I guess there's also those people that want to read One Piece and then hate it, so then they just give it low scores.
Well, there's also people that, like, I feel like if I stopped reading One Piece right now, it'd be like I've only read the first three volumes. It'd be like a 7 for me. I'm not going to stop reading it here, but I feel like a lot of people probably aren't going to read much further than a few volumes. Like for something that long, it feels like a big commitment. And like I'd say One Piece is pretty high. And considering the surrounding stuff, I'd say the earlier I've read Berserk. I've read Berserk, the early volumes of Vagabond, the early volumes of Monster, the early volumes of Grand Blue. I'd say those like pull my attention in more than One Piece to make me want to continue reading. So like if you pick, I'm sure if you look at One Piece and like look at the scores compared to like for people that are like up to date or have read a little further in, it like is probably pretty high.
Yeah. What arc did you finish off after the first three volumes?
I think Luffy had just recruited he finally got waifu number one. I don't know.
You finished Arlong?
He just got Nami in his boat and beat Clown Boy.
Okay.
And then they like sail off. Oh no, wait. Because after that, they join up with what's his name? Okay, that's the part. It like leaves off with like a cliffhanger of ugly nose guy, like, and the little butler dude plotting, and it leaves like a cliffhanger of that.
I see. Okay, so you're about to be in Orangetown or Syrup Village.
Whenever they resolve what happens with Big Nose Boy, and I know he joins the squad, and I think that's like most of the pirate crew besides Nico Robin. There's a lot of other. There's so many people that say main character, but I would expect that because I assume some of these people die.
Yeah, okay, so you're about to be in Syrup Village. So you still got Usopp, Sanji left to join the crew for this part of the journey. But you got some good stuff coming up. Syrup Village is a little but at least you get Usopp, but Barate is pretty good too.
We can definitely talk about One Piece more when I read further into it, but something I did read pretty deep into also this week was Dragon Ball, technically the Z part at this point, even though I don't like calling it Dragon Ball Z, because
it's... You're already at the sands?
I'm at the part where Cell is, like, introduced and does some shit.
You're all the way at the Cell arc, like the beginning part?
Yeah, I've got, like... 12 volumes to go, but I don't have one of the volumes because it's out of stock.
Damn, you read through that really fast.
It's very, like, digestible, I'd say.
That's fair. That is something that I think Dragon Ball is. It's super digestible and easy to just kind of turn on. Not gonna lie, you talking about it has made me want to just, like, turn it on in the background as I go to sleep.
It's, like... I don't know how it, like, I don't want to be anything involved with the Dragon Ball fandom, because I don't like the Dragon Ball fandom, but I like Dragon Ball a lot. It's nice to read it now at, like, the point I am in my life and see how it's influenced so many other things. I found out that entire piece of, like, Jujutsu Kaisen where they're, like, timing the fucking black magic shit, they're, like, cursed energy at the time that they hit it. That's just straight up ripped from Dragon Ball. That's exactly what Goku does with his chi. So I'm like, wow, look at all this. Because, like, when you watch JoJo's and you, like, find out how much influence it has on stuff, you get to see that. So it's very similar to, I imagine, how you felt after you got into JoJo's and, like, compared it to other anime that you had seen before but came after JoJo's.
And then it really pops out and just shows that, you know, that just have them randomly. Like, I was literally watching, like, an idol show, and they had, like, a... They just had to, like, find costumes, and this one girl literally changed in her outfit. Was she put on, like, the stone mask and then hit the Joseph Joestar pose. I was like, I was not expecting this, but the show is instantly my favorite idol show.
Yeah. But yeah, Dragon Ball, very good. It hasn't, like, I feel like if I watched the anime, it'd probably have some, I wish Matt were here, because maybe he could attest to it better. But I feel like there's probably parts of it that are a little slow moving. That's definitely what I've heard. Like, some of the fight scenes went for, like, multiple episodes versus just spanning a couple chapters. But, like, none of it's been, like, really boring at all. All of it's been pretty good. I expected, like, certain little arcs to have, like, boring segments, but all of it's been, like, nice. I like that it's not scared to time skip. Like, it is relentlessly just time skipping through boring shit, and it does not give a fuck. Like, I'm there, I'm like, oh man, they're gonna have to train for a year, and then it just skips, and I'm like, oh cool, I don't have to see any of this fucking boring Rocky montage shit that I've seen 1,000 times to fill my pages because Toriyama didn't have time to work on a chapter this week. Like,
no, he's, you can got really Dragon tell Quest that to play.
Yeah, you can really tell that, like, from what I've heard of Super, it's not great. So you can really tell that this is Toriyama was very passionate about his work at this time, because he was apparently pumping out I don't remember. There's an interview where he said like how many pages he worked on a day, but he usually said he worked on like 2 full pages a day, I think. It was something like that. Or maybe it was 3, because it's the weekly shonen thing and chapters are usually like 15 pages. So it would probably be like 3. But you really tell that there was like a lot of passion behind that. And it it doesn't even need to pop art wise. It's just, it's interesting. It's like, it's a battle shonen, but before battle shonens had to do all the marketable tropes that you saw, a lot of which were taken from Dragon Ball. But it's nice to see a good battle shonen before battle shonens became a marketing ploy. It's fun. Enjoyable read. Very nice not having to wait weeks to see where they're going to go after this fucking fight wraps up and sit in anticipation as Goku probably fought fucking, I don't even know who, for a year. Like, isn't the Frieza probably fight supposed to be long as fuck in the anime?
It's the Super Saiyan transformation that's long as fuck, but they went back and kind of fixed all of that in Kai, so.
Oh, Kai touched on.
Kai literally just cuts out like all the unnecessary, or most of the unnecessary scenes to save on time. So, you can just watch that. It does get rid of the music though, like the iconic music.
Don't know if that's good or bad because I didn't hear the music, but
yeah. Well, then you'd probably prefer Kai.
Yeah, it's just been. It's been good. I still don't understand the obsessive love for Vegeta. Like, I like him as a character, but I don't get the people that are like, they talked about it on Trash Taste also, which I found funny because of the convenience of them talking about it at the time. It was on their like worst fandoms thing, but apparently like there's like a bunch of people on Twitter that are just like, Vegeta's the fucking best anti-hero in the history of anime, and it's like they haven't seen any anime but Dragon Ball, so how the fuck would they even know from making that claim? Like, yeah. I don't think that's true. I have not finished Dragon Ball, like, but I don't think Vegeta is the best anti-hero in the history of anime. I think he is a good character. But yeah.
That's just Dragon Ball fans sometimes, I think.
Also, I feel like a lot of these characters are probably a lot less annoying without some of their, like, bad 80s voice acting behind them.
Maybe.
Like, I know that there's a lot of hate that goes towards some of, like, there's a lot of hate that goes to Yamcha and, what the fuck is his name? Chiatsu? Is that how you say it? Chiatsu? The little fucking clown-looking dude? Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, people fucking hate him, and they hate Yamcha, and it's like, I don't really mind. They're just there. But maybe they, like, were just really annoying in the anime, which maybe because they, like, took up more time versus them just kind of being there in a panel when I'm reading.
They hate on Yamcha and Chiatsu, or do they meme on Yamcha and Chiatsu?
No, dude, people fucking hate Yamcha. Like, I think if you look up worst Dragon Ball characters, Yamcha's, like, in the top 3 of every list.
I mean, he doesn't really do much.
Screen Rant, Yamcha's number 1. Otaku Nuts, top 10 worst Dragon Ball characters. Who's number 1? The Shadow Dragons. I haven't gotten to that part yet. Is Yamcha on this list? Wow, Yamcha's not in this list. Chiaotzu is, though. Matt hates Yamcha specifically. Like, he told me Yamcha was going to get worse, and I honestly feel like he's gotten better, because before he was just an annoying, like, obstacle that could get shoved out of the way. But yeah, Dragon Ball, very enjoyable. And then I also started Kaguya-sama today, which is very enjoyable so far. I'm like midway through volume 2.
Very nice. Speaking of things that aren't good, Happy Sugar Life.
It was really fucking bad. I know we watched it because it was going to be bad. It fucking blew me away. you can continue with our standard opening now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you had no prior experience to the show or anything?
Well, actually, I talked with you a little bit about it before the show. I knew what this was because I was browsing Books A Million. For anyone unfamiliar, it's just a like bookstore that you can get some pretty good manga deals on if you're a member. You can save like 35% there. But I was just browsing around and this guy like starts talking to me. I'm always very wary when random strangers start talking to me, especially when I'm looking for manga, because I don't like other weebs, to be honest, most of the time. Generally, I just, you know, overall, random people that approach me and talk to me that are part of the anime fan base, I do not have very many positive experiences with them. But, you know, I don't want to be a like complete dick. So I entertain the conversation. He makes like a comment about something I was holding. I don't remember what it was. And he said it was like pretty good. And then he shows me that he's holding like Happy Sugar Life, some fucking random volume. I think it was like volume 6. Because I think it was volume 6, because the little girl like opening her mouth screaming with the little fangs seems to be a distinct visual for me. And he told me it was good. And I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe I'll check it out. As he walks away, I look up the score for it, as I do with anything before I purchase it. Because the thing about purchasing manga is, you know, you don't just read a few chapters to see if it's shit. You really want to know if what you're buying is going to be a heap of fucking garbage. So generally, I like look up the score and it needs to be like above a certain threshold, which is usually like it needs to be like at least a 7.2 for me to flip through it and see what it's about. And like generally, if it's above like an 8.2, I'll just buy it if it looks like something I might like. But this had like a 7 flat, I believe, for the manga. Let me double check that. It had a 7.23, which is right, not in the good zone, but not, like, horrible. But I looked at what it was about, and it looked really fucking bad. Flipped through a couple pages of, like, a random volume, because they didn't even have volume 1. And it did not look great. The art was not very good. Which, finding out how bad the story is, I struggle to understand how anyone has consumed this at all, like for enjoyment, or how anyone could suggest it to me. Like, I think that's the most insulting thing, is that like, and has like reaffirmed my don't talk to random weebs at the bookstore thing, is like, this guy looked at me, he thought about what that book was about, and he's like, yes, this guy would like that. And that scares me.
Yeah, that's not a good look on anybody's end, I guess.
I'm just like, I can't, man. Like, what if I had heard of that and had like, even if you enjoy this, I feel like you just hide that because it's like fucking weird. Like, what if I knew about it and he's just talking to me about how much he enjoys this weird fucking, like, Stockholm Syndrome, like... Oh, there's a review I want to read later, because someone captures my feelings perfectly in their review. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's a piece of it I want to read, but I'll do that later.
That's fair. I had heard about this show from another anime podcast. I won't name any names, but a certain host of theirs was talking about the show and they liked it, and every time that
I actually want to know,
like, no, I can't, I won't say, I won't slander any other ones. And yeah, so I was like, you know what, I'm never going to watch this. And I ended up watching it because I decided to go with door number 4 because I thought it would be funny to go with the unlucky Japanese number. And here we are. But anyways, would you recommend this show to anyone?
No, just flat no. Not a single fucking person. Anyone that I would consider, like, this would not even pop in my head. All of the things that this covers, there are not even one. There are, like, at least 10 anime that cover it better, no matter what you're wanting out of it. Unless you're wanting, like, unless you want a pedophilic horror girl love story that's, like, complete dog shit. If you ask me specifically for that, yes. I'd throw you this.
That's fair.
I just want to I kind of want to point this out too. If you see anything, if you go to a Mal entry and you see anything that's tagged girls love and it's a shonen, it's gonna be shit. Kind of just how it is.
I believe that. You know, I'd probably only recommend this to someone if they've literally watched, like, everything that's even remotely close to, like, how messed up this is. And just say, you know, this show exists, and you seem to like this genre of show. But other than that, I'm going to try my best to cleanse my memory of this from hence on forward. But
yeah,
you know, yeah. Should I even ask, did you have a favorite character in the show at all?
Not a single, I can't, like, I fucking hated, like, all of them. There's not a single one.
I thought you were going to like the, aunt.
No, like, they're all so poorly written and, part of horror is, like, putting me into the world a little bit, like, kind of immersing me so that I can feel scared. But it's just, like, it's fucking cringy. Like, all the characters are fucking, like, despicably irredeemable. It's, like, even the little girl that they try to want to, like, get you attached to a little bit, like, they try to give her some cute little moments so that you can, like, you know, appreciate her, I guess, as a tiny little cute innocent child. And it's just like, stop. This is fucking weird. At no point am I immersed into anything that's going on. All the characters fucking suck. And also, like, this is further on, but those fucking, like, this does one of the worst things that any anime can do. We just have characters that have no motivation. They are just bad for the sake of being bad. The guys that, like, beat up Tayo all the time, like, I think they beat him up, like, twice or three times or something. On multiple occasions, they just fucking beat him up for no reason, no explanation. They're just harassing him. And then we get, like, this dialogue, and it's like, haha, we're such bad guys. And then eventually Sato, like, fucking kills them. And I guess it's supposed to be, like, painting them as bad people so that we can kind of, like... I feel like it's trying to make me, like, empathize with Sato the whole time, which is why I've, like, called her a protagonist in our conversations. But it doesn't. I don't fucking, like... She's fucking weird, and the whole thing is weird. And I don't feel, like... I don't care about any of the characters. I don't feel any sympathy for them. I don't fucking relate to the situation. It's fucking so stupid. Like, holy shit, I hated this. And I hated all the characters. I hated the story. None of it intrigued me. The animation got worse as we went on somehow. That was like, what the fuck? Because, like you said early on, like, the only good part, like, that's like the only part that's well animated at all is their little fucking, like, psycho static thing that they do. It's like they spent the whole budget on that. Yep. They spent the whole fucking budget animating that one effect that they, because they use it like four times per episode. So it's like a sixth of every episode. But like, that's bad. I'd be surprised if you can like find an actual like positive note to say about this that isn't just like a very light thing. Like anything that contributed to like more than 2% of the show, if you can find any of that, that like you, to say something positive about.
We'll see. But I guess we'll have to really dive into it to see if I can. And but yeah, I also didn't have like a great time myself. Pretty bad show. Done by Studio Isola, which really hasn't done much else. It's done like one other seemingly like girl love show, and then it also did Smile Down the Runway. So not like a heavy hitting studio or one that really gets much, you know, play. But there is one good thing about the show, which is approximately 1% of the total runtime per episode, and that would be like the opening.
Yeah, I forgot about that. The OP is actually good. That gave me hope.
Yeah, the OP is actually pretty good. I really like the visuals, and I think the song fits.
You can still turn this into a negative note, though, because you know what? The OP is the first thing you see in episode one. It just opens with the OP, and you know what happens? It's all shit after that. It makes you think, like, hey. It made me think, like, hey, maybe this isn't going to be as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because it's like, this is a good OP. It's got a funky song. It's like, it's not the best animated, but it's like, the shots. Another thing, the shots are fucking horrible. Like, whoever decided that these are the perspectives of the scenes we needed to see, who the fuck made that call? It's all so bad. But the OP, like, the shots that they take in that, it's actually done at, like, good angles. And, like, the portrayal of shit is actually good. And then you get into the anime, and all that's just tossed out the fucking window.
Yeah, pretty much. Agreed. What'd you think of the ending?
I mean, it was boring. It was better than the rest of the show, though. Because it meant the episode was over. It's like standard sad music and little kids walking. I don't think I watched it all the way through a single time.
I did. I watched it all the way through twice. I do like the symbolism of the girls' individual journeys and then eventually their group journey across the little railway in the back. I didn't really care too much for the song.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen worse endings. Like, if you take the ending and compare it to the rest of the anime, it's good. If you compare it to other endings, it's like, not good, not bad. Another surprising thing, though, is that the OP is, like, really good, and the ED is, like, not horrible. It's, like, a generic, like, sort of low-effort anime ED, but
yeah,
the soundtrack's fucking horrible. It's, like, I don't think we've had anything that had, like, a really good OP and then had a terrible soundtrack.
Yeah, which,
They don't even, the music's not great, and they don't know when to put it in the scene. It's, like, the timing is not there. Like, if you hand this to a fifth grader and let him experiment with Windows Movie Maker for a couple hours, he will put those, like, fucking music cues in there better.
Possibly, but, yeah. I guess, we should really just dive into the, I guess, plot that was given to us.
The very, very shallow plot. We're diving into 1 foot high water right now. And it hurt just as much as you'd expect.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest with everybody here. I forgot the first opening scene, so I'm just going to read this episode synopsis. Tell me if I miss anything. Shoko is surprised to hear that Sato has decided to give up fooling around with guys and start living together with the person she loves, who is a child named Shiho. Sato's the pink-haired girl who's starting to, like, work. Oh, okay. Wait, it's coming back to me. I'm just going to paraphrase this thing.
Don't let it come back.
Okay, so yeah, Sato, like, works at this, like, maid cafe thing. Everything seems fine. She's, like, talking to her friend about guys, and Sato's like, oh, I'm not into guys, and her friends are not into guys anymore. And her friend's like, oh, that's weird. You used to be super into them. She's like, oh, I found the one that I love. And then she went to school, and her teacher was really, just gave off weird vibes. And then we see that the person that she loves is a little child. And, you know, that's how we're starting off the show. Next scene, she's, like, back in work, being asked, like, oh, why are you working so much? And she's like, oh, I got to cover my living expenses for everybody. And then her, like, her teacher tracks her down, like, after work one day and, like, tries to, like, assault her. But she does, like, a girl boss move and, like, you know, does turn it back around on her.
Wait, isn't that episode 2?
I told you, I don't fucking remember episode 1.
Yeah, episode 1, it's all dumb, dude. We don't even need to
cover it. It's all, like, dumb.
You can just brush over the overall arc.
Yeah.
But episode 1, actually, the reason that this thing that happens in episode 1 is important is, like, basically, there's, like, some shitty stuff going on with, like, the manager or whatever, and she's, like, not going to pay her. Because, like, she's getting, like, I don't know what the fuck the point. That this shit was so confusing because, like, the lady, like, ties the blonde boy up and puts him in the fucking wardrobe, and then she, like, blames the girl for it and says she's going to, like, take it out of her pay for
losing her. Oh, shit, is that when he got assaulted the first time?
Yeah, and then, like,
oh my, I did not remember that at all.
Dude, it's so dumb. Cause, like,
oh, this show is so bad, dude.
That, I think the entire point of the scene was just to show us her go in, like, sicko mode or whatever. And she just fucking, like, gets angry and, like, is, like, threatening this girl. And she's, like, holding a phone between her coochie or whatever to record this whole thing. And she's like, I'm going to expose you if you don't stop. And, like, at this point, I was like, this is so fucking stupid. It's, like, funny. And I'm like, that's when I thought, like, this is going to be, like, one of those so bad it's, like, kind of good shows. Because this was, like, amusing. Because I was so fucking confused. None of it made sense. And she even dropped the line of, like, hold on, I have it in my notes. It's, like, the only note that I took.
I did not take notes for this show.
It's just the only note I took. I think I took another one in episode 3, actually. But, yeah. Okay. Oh, no, I just have one for episode 1. She says, because the, like, teacher lady, or the fucking manager lady, like, beat up the guy and puts him in the wardrobe, she says, you're not supposed to go after underage kids. The pink hair girl says that to the manager lady. And I'm like, ha, I don't know. Like, I assume that's, like, an irony thing, because it's like, you're fucking, you abducted a child and are living with a child and, like, romanticizing and sort of sexualizing this child.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so this is going to be, like, so bad it's good. It's going to be, like, basically people getting in the way of this, like, girl's livelihood with the little child, and then she, like, finds dumbass ways to blackmail them and, like, does, like, this vigilante holier than thou thing, and like, that's sort of, like, the theme. And then it's just fucking, like, stupid, and she goes sicko mode and, like, does, like, this dumbass, like, exposition, sort of like JoJo's, but she doesn't actually have any powers kind of thing. And I thought it was just going to be, like, dumb, stupid, like, funny kind of that way. But no, it, like, tries to take itself so seriously into, like, developing this longer plot. If every episode was, like, episode 1, it'd be, like, a funny, shitty gag anime, and it'd be more like a 5 for me. But no, they try to, like, turn this into a story, and that's just a fucking joke. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, this is not a story. But yeah, so episode 2, she's, like, trying to throw away a bloody trash bag, and then her teacher sees her, and then starts to get super suspicious, and then corners her in an alley, and pretty much like tries to take advantage of her, and then she like flips the whole thing around on its whole head and ends up fucking like getting him to throw away the trash for her. And then he's like something. God.
He doesn't look at this trash. He just later wonders what it was.
Yeah. And he's like, he's freaking out the whole time. He's like, this has to be a body. Like, I know it's a body. Like, there's nothing else it can be. And then that like doesn't come up for the longest fucking time in the entire show. He's just kind of there in the background. And then moving on to episode 3. We see this hooded guy and he like gets attacked. He's like putting up posters of She-Ho all around, like missing child posters, which makes sense. And he starts to get attacked by this group of thugs, and Sato and the blonde haired kid.
Hold on.
Kid.
These thugs just beat him up because he's looking for a little girl. Like, this is the worst part of anime is, oh, there's just this group of people and they're the worst. They're gonna like, who the fuck have, I don't think anyone, no matter how fucking bad you are, is going to randomly beat out a guy because he's crying looking for a little girl. Like, with, like, fucking missing person posters and shit. Who the fuck? Like, that is such, like, lazy bad guy writing type of thing. And it's, there's really nothing compared. Like, there's a lot of, like, at least in most shitty anime, when you have a character that's, like, written and they're just evil for the sake of being evil, there's, like, a purpose, right? It's like, it's like, oh, we're going to build this character up with this shitty little mini antagonist that's going to make him stronger. And he's just evil for being evil because it's too hard to like make time to write a backstory for him. But these characters don't need to fucking be here. Like, what is the point?
Not there's really no point, I guess, except to introduce Asahi into the story and show that like Shiho's a missing child and this isn't just like, you know, something that is just out here happening on the reg.
Yeah, it's not good. And then also we get like introduced to the three-way obsession with this child, which that was another thing that sent it off the deep end from just being a so bad it's good thing to being absolute, like, fucking a heaping pile of shit is what I will constantly refer to this as, because that's, like, the only thing I can call it, to be honest with you. Like, just why? Why are they all, like, fucking, what's his name? Teo. He's, like, constantly just talking about, like, oh, I'm in love with little girl. Oh, I'm such a bad guy for being in love with little girl. But I'm going to keep doing it. And I'm not a pedophile. It's just this girl.
Yeah, I don't think that's how that works. Yeah, she's just my angel.
Like, I don't think that's how that works. I don't think people just get attracted to one child and no other children.
Yeah. And then, but She-Ho, you know, she starts to get a little worried about why Sato's coming home so late and ends up leaving the apartment on her own, which is something she's never supposed to do. Who the fuck is me? Oh, her. Who the fuck is Mitsubishi? Hold on, I gotta see who this character. No, it's one of the characters. Oh, it's a. Oh, yeah, so She-Ho in the next episode ends up running into, the blonde-haired kid, which, you know, we get to start to see little flashbacks of her past life, and she was, you know, kind of, it was not good. Her mother literally said, I don't need you anymore, and, like, abandoned her in the rain in an alleyway. We also learned that her father was also abusive towards his wife as well, and then she passes out in the park. Oh my gosh. Episode 5 is so weird. For some reason, one of Sato's coworkers is like weirdly obsessed with her. So she like pretty much like low-key confesses to Sato in their like changing room at work, and then Sato's like, she's like freaking out about it, but ends up saying, "Oh, I love you the way you are," and like kisses her and like does the knee thing for whatever reason.
Yeah, this is the point where I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm tapped out, dude. I'm like trying my best to pay attention to this, and there's just like words on the screen and I'm reading them and it's not going through my brain at all. It's just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah, and then she pretty much after this like goes home freaking out, and like tells Shiho what happens, and they like renew their vows. It's pretty cute, I guess. If you're into that thing. And then later that night, another Sato's like close friend that we saw in episode 1 is worried about the blonde-haired kid and ends up visiting him at his house. And as she opens the door, she sees nothing but like posters of the missing child all along, you know, her or his bedroom. And is like, it's a little sus, bro. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you about that one. And then that's the end of that episode.
Well, he like manically explains his theory, and she's like, no, Sato not gonna do that.
Yeah. Yes, pretty much. Well, that's the whole next episode. God. And then fucking,
does anything that happens after this matter until they fucking die? Or don't even actually die?
They meet the aunt. No, one of them dies.
Did you like the aunt? Is that why you want to talk about the aunt? Cause like,
no, I thought you would have liked the aunt.
Dude, I did not give a shit. Why would I like the aunt? What is like big
mommy
about her?
She's got big mommy milkers.
They weren't even that big, and she's got fucking band-aids all over her face.
I'm not one to judge, man.
But I don't even think her milkers were that big.
Who's to say?
Did she not even have a name? Her mail entry just says Sato's aunt.
I know, that's so bad.
She does not have big milkers.
Is this the heel that we're dying on? But yeah,
are you just talking about the scene where she had the robe open?
Yeah. Hey, I mean, really nothing happens. They do meet Sato's aunt because Shoko's like trying to figure out where Sato lives. So they like bring her there. The cops are there. And we're like, why are the cops there? Turns out there's like a bad smell, which like there's a room in Sato's house that nobody's allowed into. But like, because we assume that she's killed someone because we saw her throwing out like a bloody trash bag. It's a whole mess and a half. It turns out Sato's aunt just has a room of garbage. So that's pretty lit, if I say so myself. Not really. And so yeah, they end up leaving, and then Shoko follows Sato to, you know, the actual apartment where Shiho is. And, you know, she's already betrayed Shoto's trust once, so as she's about to leave, Shoto just kills her friend. Just straight up stabs her in the chest. Which, you know, is not very cash money of her, to say the least. Did you have any thoughts whenever her friend died?
Dude, I didn't give a fuck at this point about what was happening. I had no attachment to any of these characters. They could have fucking killed anyone. They could have killed the little kid. I would have been like, cool, we have something to care about, maybe. Depending on where they're going with this. But probably not.
Yeah.
Like, what? I don't even know what you, like, classify this as. It's just so fucking, like, there's nothing to care about. At all.
Agreed.
It's like, imagine any fucking, like, sort of horror suspense type of thing. Imagine, like, let's say, we'll just say, like, let's imagine Erased. But instead of Erased, you don't see it from the little kid's perspective. It's just some kids. And there's some shit happening. And you don't care about any of it, because your fucking attachment to any of the characters is never built up, because none of the fucking characters have personalities. So when they die, or anything happens to them, or they have any kind of conflict, who the fuck cares? Like, where is my attachment to anything that's happening in this supposed to form? Someone has to have an answer, because apparently, where the fuck is the... Hold on. It's easier to find on the mobile app. Apparently, 7,367 people gave this a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
10,436 people gave this a 9 out of 10. 20,315 people gave this an 8. And even the most popular rating of 27,247 people gave this a 7. What did I miss? What was there a prequel series that made me care about any of this shit?
No, people just like this type of content. For some reason, I don't get it. It's not for me either.
Is it like I've read fucking doujins with better fucking stories than this. Like low budget, like it's prefaced with like a, hey guys, this is my first doujin. Hope you like it. And the translation's like terrible because it's done by like a fucking random dude's friend, or maybe just Google translated even. Probably Google translated. The story's still better than this. So if you have a thing for pedophilic girl love, there's still better options and they're free. I guess the production value won't be as good, although the production value on this isn't stellar. But like, one of the specific like snippet of that review that I wanted to read, I'll read the little snippet. The guy says, if you don't like Yuri romance, age gap romance, moe girls, lollies, or Stockholm syndrome fetishism, then take your leave immediately for your own sanity's good. And I'd say, like, he put Yuri romance in there. I don't think the Yuri romance crowd is going for that. So, how are there really this many people that are into age gap romance, moe girls, lollies, and Stockholm syndrome fetishism? Because I don't see any other market for this.
I'd argue and say, yeah. I'd say that does exist.
This is the 776th most popular anime on MAL. Just fucking how?
Weebs.
They had to read the fucking synopsis. And then they chose to watch this. And this doesn't even have... this doesn't even have a dub. If this had a dub, we'd be seeing at least 20,000 more people in the popularity crowd pushing this up probably at least 100 slots of popularity. That's low estimates. But this isn't like as easily accessible as most things that are more popular than it. But I just don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know where this gets good. I understand that the horror crowd standards are very low. Remarkably low. Like, I've seen some horror manga, even some horror anime. It's usually pretty fucking bad. There are some exceptions. There are specific... I feel like with horror, there's a couple mangakas that they get it, right? Junji Ito, he gets how to do horror. The fucking guy that I can't remember the name of that wrote Flowers of Evil and Happiness and Blood on the Tracks.
Yeah.
He gets it, but it's there are very few mangakas that get how to do horror well. Very, very small. It's hard to do horror well. which is why you shouldn't do it if you don't know how to. It's not easy. There is a reason that people applaud, like, Miura for giving so many great horror elements to Berserk. Things like, what's some good horror stuff? I haven't read all of these. Steel Ball Run's classed as a horror. Is that, would you say that's accurate?
I mean, what? I mean, no, it's not really a horror. That one's more just like a race. I guess there are at points where it can be a little scary.
Horror is a very loosely used genre, I'd say. So there's a couple. Like, I know Gantz is a true horror, but I haven't read it. Tokyo Ghoul is a horror.
I think I watched, like, the movie for that one.
Even though I don't love Tokyo Ghoul, I feel like the author, like, he understands horror. Like, he knows how to do it. This, I don't think they fucking understand, like, what even, like, is supposed to be the appeal of horror. I think they just, like, they just wanted some characters with some edge because they thought it would be quirky.
Like, I gotta agree with you.
I don't understand. Like, if you don't know how to do it, it's okay. It's a very hard genre to do, like, well. But just do something else. Make a fucking doujin if you just want to make cute little characters with, like, little quirks. You could have done all of this in 15 pages.
Yeah, I guess most of it. But yeah, so then we get the rest of the backstory of Shiho's family. Turns out her dad really is just a full piece of shit. Her and her mom had left waiting for just basically the day for her dad to die so that their brother can, you know, come and join them. Turns out that is not the full case because the mother, you know, just kind of abandoned Shiho, left her out in the rain. Yada yada. They make this whole big plan on for Sato and Shiho to escape one evening. The day that, you know, the plan goes into motion, things don't go according to plan. The aunt, you know, does end up setting the fire appropriately. But, you know, the girls decide instead of leaving, they need to go back up for some reason. Oh, yeah, because Asahi shows up. So they go up to try to get away from him. But then the cops show up, so they can't go the other way. So then Shiho actually comes up with a brilliant idea for them to jump off the roof together and die. Turns out they both don't die. Unfortunately, it is just Sato, which is probably the better option. In all honesty, you know, for obvious reasons there. But then we get a scene of Shiho in the hospital, and her brother comes to visit her and is like, hey, we can all go, me and you can go live as a family now. And she's like, no, I don't want that anymore because my true love is, you know, she's going to be with me forever. And I rolled my eyes, and that is Happy Sugar Life, or about as much as I want to fucking talk about it.
Oh, and let's not forget to include the part where they think it's just so quirky to have Sato and fucking, what's little girl's name that I still don't fucking know? It's Shio? Is that it?
Yep. That's the one.
They make a point of, oh, I've got to do it. It's going to give me my happy sugar life. And they think it's like, The writer thinks it's, like, so, like, I guess, like, deep to have, like, them desiring the fucking little happy sugar life thing and then have them complain about bitterness every time anything's interfering with it. It's like, if the deepest you can get is comparing bitter to sweet, like, writing's not for you. I don't get it. They have clearly managed to milk people out of very much a great amount of money. This is so bad. If you like this, I'm not going to say that, actually.
No, say it. Let it out. Let it out.
It's too far for, the general purposes. I'm just gonna say don't buy this manga. Don't buy any content related to it. It's fucking bad. It's so bad. I don't know. I like everything that has seemed bad to me in the past. It just feels so much better in comparison.
Isn't it nice to know that it can always get worse?
That's the thing. I don't know how it gets worse than this. Like, anything that was worse than... The only way that anything could be worse than this would then probably become good. Because this bored the fuck out of me, and it sucked, and it didn't have any redeeming qualities. Anything that, like, would be, like, tangibly worse than this is going to, like, enter into, like, it's so bad it's good territory, therefore being better than this. But this just fucking, like, I don't know. Like, I can't give it a true one, because I think, like, it would just, it'd be too difficult to really classify what a one actually is.
I think this,
but it was really fucking bad.
Probably count.
To get my head off of this, Alex, what's your favorite, if you had to pick one, your favorite horror manga or anime of all time?
I think of the ones I've read. Where's my
list? I'm sure it'll be a challenge. I know you've read more of them than I have, and I have a very easy answer for mine.
You can go ahead and say yours.
Well, mine is just Monster. That one's...
That's fair.
Very easy for me. Anime or manga. They're very, like... They're both very good.
Can I not filter by genre? Goodness.
You have to click horror as a tag on something that has horror as a tag.
See. Oh, that's actually not counted as a horror. Interesting.
I mean, if Mal doesn't classify it as a horror, it might still be a horror. Depending on, well, like...
Oh, shit. I'm going to have to go with Promised Neverland, specifically Season 1.
Oh, that's surprising. Is that like a definite one, or is that just you clicked horror and saw it at the top of Mal?
Oh, yeah, I just saw it at the top of Mal. I scrolled down. Perfect Blue's on there as well. I love Perfect Blue. Love that so much. Point is... Don't watch this show. Jacob, what do you want to give this bad, bad, bad show?
This is going to get two fat, steamy, worm-filled dog shits out of 10.
Is it two?
Yeah.
All right, I am going to have to give this 4 dead lovers out of 10.
You're giving this a 4? That seems so high.
It's just bad. I don't think it's very bad. I think there's worse shows out there. And I'm going to actively forget about this.
I sat there and contemplated so long, like staring at the fucking little Mal thing that says like horrible, or I don't know what the last, I don't know what the actual one is, but I sat there and I'm like, is this a one? But I feel like I limit myself if I make this a one, because then like, what if something's worse than this somewhere? I would have rather like, I meme about us watching X-Arm as a joke because X-Arm is like objectively horrible. I would have rather watched X-Arm this week.
I mean, was it on the was it in the grab bag?
No. I would have rather watched anything in the grab bag over this. Prison School, happily.
I probably would have watched Prison School over this.
What did I even put in the grab bag? I don't remember. You re-listened to the Halloween special, right? Or the season one of... the 2 Year Eternity episode.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't reveal everything in the bag. They were all just my picks. Speaking of
I read what was left in the bag so we could know what we missed out on. but
oh yeah, you did.
I forgot what I picked. Honestly,
I forgot.
I know Matt had Prison School. I would have rather watched that 100 times over. I think mine might have just been the Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon, but I thought I changed it from that. But I would have rather watched that. I would have rather watched Loki be a waifu than this.
That's fair. I also would have rather watched that show over this. I might go watch that tonight.
Definitely needed some palate cleansers after that.
But next week, we will be watching Flowers of Evil. Everybody.
Alex picked that because he thought that Matt and I would hate it, as per the rules of the game. There is no way I'm going to hate that more than this. No fucking way.
Probably not, yeah. This one also has to deal with children doing questionable acts.
Dude, the worst part about... at no point... The show was so bad that I couldn't even get upset about the fucking, like, pedophilia part. It was just so bad. It's like Mushoku Tensei, a lot of parts of it. There were, like, the creepiness really dragged down the show a lot. This had nothing to drag down. You can't pull something down any further.
Yeah, not when it's, like, the main focus.
Not even, like, it doesn't even hinder the show. The show hinders the show. If the show was good in any way, then we might be talking about that plot point. The show would have to give you something that was like worth watching for there to be.
The show gave me bad vibes.
Yeah, it was.
I'll just put in good shows.
What was the thing that I meant to put in there?
Probably Super Lovers, because you wanted a bad show that we would all hate.
Was that what it was? No, it wasn't Super Lovers. It was a fucking... it was something that you said you mistook Happy Sugar Life for.
Oh, School Live. Yeah, School Live was the one I meant to put in. That one's a zombie show about a little child that can't process that it's a zombie apocalypse, so half the show is done like in a cutesy moe style, and then the other half is zombie horror.
Gaku Garashi. Yeah, I would have much rather watched that than this. I probably wouldn't have liked it, but I would not. There probably would have been something to be interested in. Super Lovers looks very bad, by the way. I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to watch it either, but don't make me do a game where I have to put in bad shows.
How does something get this fucking bad? But yeah, we'll be back with Flowers of Evil next week with Matt here, hopefully, to host it for us.
That is fair. But until then, Jacob, where can the fine people reach you?
This week, just don't. Man, I need a fucking break. Not that anyone ever actually reaches me. You can find me at Tasteful Topics on Twitter, or you can find me and the shit I've been watching at myanimelist.net/profile/BambiRaptorX. How about you, Alex?
You can find me at myanimelist at myanimelist.net/profile/CreamPuffCoon. You can also find the podcast there, myanimelist.net/anybodyspod. You can also find us on Twitter. Should be the same handle as that. And then just look for one of the four people that retweet the weekly tweets from the podcast. I'll be on there. I forgot my @. And I think Matt ended up jumping off that burning building, so I don't think we're going to be able to reach him for a while. But come join the Discord. The link to join, it's in the Twitter. I actually was kind of sick this week, so I didn't end up doing the movie night. So I'm just doing Premiere next Tuesday. So that's still on for anybody that wants to join in and watch.
Happy Sugar Life made you sick.
A pumpkin patch made me sick.
Blaming it on this fucking anime. It weakened your immune system.
It definitely did. But that'll be it. Don't forget to drink some water. And if you see a lost child, call the cops.